Let's open our Bibles this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let us read some verses from God's Word, commencing to read at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, commencing to read at verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word this morning. We thank thee that thy word is indeed a lamp and light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We thank thee, our God, for thy blessing us with the word, the good and precious word of God in our very mother tongue and in our hands. We thank thee that we can gather as a congregation today in thy house to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for our sister congregations and the works of the Lord across this world that we lay before thy footstool. Remember John and Anne in Edinburgh, keep thy hand upon them. Pray that thou wilt bless them and do them good. Remember the work in Toronto. We pray that our God, that you'll prosper the work there. And Lord, just open up a way that, Lord, that you'll add many unto your church, such as you've received. Lord, bless us in our gathering here this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We read this morning in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11. Those words there in verses 11 and 12. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. A land of hills and valleys. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. Some years ago, a lady missionary, wrote a letter home. And she wrote these words. We are sometimes on the mountaintop of full communion and consequent spiritual exaltation. We're sometimes through physical weakness or mental weakness or stress of temptation in the close, dull valley of depression. But I like to remember that he who made the hills made the valleys too indeed. There could be no hills if there were no valleys. And whether we are just now toiling along in our valley or rejoicing on the mountaintop, we are in a land which the Lord our God careth for. It was Dan Crawford, the famous missionary pioneer to Congo, who said, "Remember, there is no deep valley, but near some high mountain." The mountains and the valleys are closely related together. Both of those experiences in our lives are essential experiences for the spiritual good and blessing and comfort for the people of God. Sometimes we have the mountaintop experiences, whether it's the thrilling and uplifting, exhilarating experiences of life where all is joy. But it wouldn't be good for us in the sovereign purpose of God that would always simply be there all the time. John Bunyan, I was reminded myself this week, in his Pilgrim Progress, he tells that after Christians sojourned on the hill from which he had a heartening view of the delectable mountains, or the distant Emmanuel's land, had to go down into the valley of humiliation. In the desert, God will teach thee what a great God thou hast found, patient, gracious, powerful, holy. All his grace shall there abound. We have been looking these past weeks, and I want to conclude this morning on the shadows that are across the sky of the child of God. There's the shadow of doubt that sometimes comes across our path. There's the shadow of depression, and it too is a reality that comes across the path and the sky of the child of God. Times when the rivers dry up and the tides go out, that's another valley, another shadow. It's the valley of decreases, or the valley of depletion, or the valley of declining. And I want us to think of that this morning, and then finally, the valley of death. The shadow of decreasing, the shadow of declining, the shadow of depletion, and then the shadow of death. In all of our lives, there will be those experiences. You see, friends, there will be the times whenever the shadow of the decreasing or declining or depleting comes across our lives. In other words, the time when the tide goes out. The time when the river of joy seems to dry up. Remember, Elijah was there at the brook Cherith. But the brook didn't always run. There was a time whenever the water, in the providence of God, and in the purpose and the plan of God, that the brook Cherith dried up. And there was nothing for him there. But God was showing him a way. God was showing him his will. God was leading him into deeper waters of faith. Deeper waters of dependence upon God. If you and I had it our way, we would love the waters to run all the time, wouldn't we? We would love not only waters to paddle in, but we love the waters to swim in. But life's not always like that. There are days whenever there is the decreases of life. And I want to explain that to you. First of all, we have the decreases of plenteous supply. In other words, financial declining or financial depletion. And what do we do in circumstances like that? You see, it's so easy to say, with the words of the psalmist, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And friend, when your pocket's full, and when everything that you ever desire or need is available to you, it is so easy to say, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. But there may come a time in your life, friend, when the sky is not so bright. And as far as financially is concerned, perhaps in your business, things can go wrong. The circumstances of your life can change. Tell me, you bless the Lord to see him? Can you honestly say, whenever it seems to be the prosperity of your business is going the other way, I will bless the Lord? My boast shall be in the Lord. It is so easy to say whenever the water and the tide's coming in. But when the tide's going out. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of a family. And here in the story of Elisha the prophet, things have gone bad. The Bible tells us that in chapter 3, Elisha the prophet has assisted 3 kings through difficult times, but now he's faced in chapter 4 with a widow woman. Let's read verse 1 and 2, please. Now there cried a certain widow, or woman, of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. There we have the story of a woman. And in this woman's life, there was tragedy, because here we see a broken-hearted woman. She was a widow. She knew what it was to have the family united and the husband have the responsibility. And now we find that her husband is dead. He was one of the sons of the prophets. In other words, he was preparing himself as a student for the ministry. And he dies. But not only is her heart broken over her death, over his death, but her heart's broken over his debts. Because the reality is that death has come sudden here. And whenever death has come sudden here, we find that there are debts to be paid. Now, there's nothing in this passage of God's word that tells me that this man was not able to meet, whilst he was alive, was not able to meet his responsibilities. But whenever he dies, he leaves a woman not only with a broken heart, but he leaves a widow with many debts. And she feels destitute. She doesn't know what to do. Where does she go? There are no social services to meet the need of that day. We find that there are creditors, or there's a creditor. And the creditor is hard-hearted. Because the creditor doesn't care that her heart's broken. The creditor doesn't care that she's put into a circumstances which was not of her making. All the creditor cares is he gets his portion. In actual fact, not only is he willing to leave her destitute as far as because her husband's gone, but the creditor, she has got 2 sons, and the creditor wants to make her 2 sons slaves to pay the debt. And here we find that she comes to the man of God with her need, and she spreads it out before him. And the creditor has come unto him, or unto him my, or to take unto him my two sons to be born them. And that's all she had. Now what does the man of God do? The man of God doesn't say, well listen, I'll pay what you need. Would that have been in her benefit? Maybe you say yes. But friend, it wasn't. We find the man of God says to her in verse 2, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? You see, there are responsibilities that are placed upon this woman's shoulders. And she must carry the responsibility because death has come in the sovereign plan of God. And he asks her the question, what is in thine house? Tell me, what do you have? Because you see, you've got to use that which you have rather than expecting everybody else to do it for you. A lot of people, you see, have got this idea in life that if you're in your back's against the wall and you're in great need, everybody else among the people of God should take over, as it were, and provide the need, and all you sit back is just enjoy the blessing. And they meet your responsibility. Friend, no. Here was responsibilities that this woman had. And the man of God knows that there is a tremendous need here. But he asks her the question, what hast thou in the house? What have you got to meet the need? And she's honest and she says to him, all she has is a pot of oil. In other words, a vessel of oil. Now, oil was a precious thing in those days. Because in actual fact, oil was not only used for the anointing of the body, but there were many other uses for oil in Bible times. It was something that was in demand. But the problem she had was this. Whilst it was in demand, all that she had was one little pot of it. And what she had did not meet the need that you have. You know, I'm glad when this woman's in need, she turns to God. Some people today, when their back's against the wall, friend, they turn to booze and they turn to drugs and they turn to the psychiatrist and they turn to the psychologist. And some even further still. Rather than turning to God. And here's a woman and she needs a word from God and she cries, it says. There cried a certain woman. This woman's in great pain because she's in great need. And she comes to the man of God seeking an answer and she says, thou knowest that thy servant feared the Lord. I don't believe he got into debt because of foolishness. I believe that he was responsible. Man of God. But he left a need to his wife when death suddenly came. We live in a society today when people get themselves into so much debt over foolishness just to keep up with somebody else. And friends, we live in a society where it seems to be there's the encouragement to get a rope around your neck of financial responsibility and debt. It seems to be that there is no tomorrow, that you just spend today and there's no responsibility tomorrow. I don't believe that that glorifies God at all. I don't believe that that's the way that people ought to meet their need. And here we find that here's a woman in tremendous need. And we find that the man of God instructs her in verse 3. He says, go borrow the vessels. Now, he's not putting her into further debt. He says, borrow vessels. Go to your neighbors and get as many vessels or pots as you possibly can, empty vessels. And borrow as many as you can. Then I want you to come in. And I want you to shut the door upon you and your sons. You see, let me tell you this. There's going to be a miracle worked here. But this is not a miracle for show. This is a miracle to meet need. We have a lot of show of miracles today. And people try to say what are miracles. And all it is to glorify man. This is not glorifying of man at all, friend. This woman is in need. And God's going to meet her need. And God's going to supply her need. And he says, borrow the pots and shut the door. And she and her family will see God work and meet the need. But that's all. Nobody else is going to glory in this at all. And I want you to notice something else. When she went in, and when she shut the door, and she started to take her pot that had got the oil in it. In other words, she had to use wisely that which she had. She didn't waste it. She used what was in her hand. She used what she could do. She used it wisely under God. She asked God to bless it, just as God multiplied the loaves and the fishes. But a wee lad who had the loaves and fishes said, here, God, you take them and you multiply them. So this woman had to use what was in her hand. And there was a pot in her hand, that's all she had. A pot of oil. And when she shut the door, then she emptied, as instructed by the man of God, and she emptied the oil into the vessels. Now notice this. Verse 6. It came to pass when the vessels were filled, and she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. Listen. And the oil was stayed. The oil was stayed. Listen. The miracle stopped just as it started. It was a miraculous starting. As the woman poured in the oil, it was a miraculous starting, and the oil was able to fill this pot, and that pot, and that pot, and that pot. Listen, and there was all the pots, listen, and miraculously they were filled. And when it came to the last pot, the oil stopped like that. You see, God knew how much to provide. And there was not a drop more. Do you know the Bible says to me, friend? My God shall supply, listen, all your need. But so often, we want the extra pots, don't we? Not because we need them, but because of our greed. And sometimes, you know, God's people can get greedy the same as the world. But God doesn't say that he'll supply all your greed. My God shall supply all your need. But the sufficiency of the deliverance was inseparable to her obedience. She had to do exactly as God had said. Faith without works is dead. I trust God to do that. I trust God to do that thing. And they sit back. No, faith without works is dead. She had to do her work as well as believe God. I asked you, as the shadow of decreasing financial need across your life, has the tide gone out, friend? Or maybe it's not your financial supply, but it's your physical strength. And you find that today, because of life's journey, because of the problems that you've had to face, that your physical strength is gone because of the trials that you've come. You've come to the end of your resources. And there's a decreasing in your physical strength. You lie there exhausted because of the road. The body has lost its strength. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In the 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, we go to verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Friend, you see a man that has come to the end of his physical resources. And when he's writing the last letter that he wrote before he went home to die as a martyr's death, in 2 Timothy. And he's writing to young Timothy, and in the chapter 4, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. He lies in a dark cell, and he's cold. And yet it's amazing, even though his physical strength is gone, he knows there's nothing can separate him from the love of Christ. Is that dark shadow across your life? Maybe the tide's going out, friend. Listen, the body's aching today. The body's shaking in the winds and the storms of sickness. You know the body's weak. You know the body's strength is depleted. And you say the decreases of physical strength. Where can I go but to the Lord? But very quickly before we close, listen. Maybe not only financial. Maybe not physical. What about spiritual? Maybe there's people here in God's house, listen. And you spiritually are depleted. Remember the days you were strong in the Lord? Remember the days whenever the light shone brightly in your soul, and whenever my joy was in your heart, and you had times of rich refreshment, and you were on the top of the mountain? Is that where you are this morning? Or is the torch flickering today? Have you lost the joy? Jonah lost the joy of serving God. Jonah ran from the will of God. You know how he lost it? He lost it because of prejudice. He didn't want God to deliver Nineveh. He didn't want God to save the people. He didn't want God, you see, his heart was prejudiced against them. They lost the joy of serving God. Have you lost the joy of serving God, friend? You know the reason why? Maybe you do. You've lost out. Is it because of somebody else? Or something else that has come into your life? It's amazing, you know, how easily people are knocked off the rails. And they lose out with God. Is it spiritual today you've lost your strength? The shadow of depletion? Spiritually. I want to tell you, God loves you still. God's not forgotten you. You know what God wants to give you? we read this morning, he wants to give you the early and the latter rain. Say, preacher, but I didn't know that a Christian life would be hills and valleys. Let me tell you. The land which God called his people to was a land of hills and valleys, but listen, a land that the Lord cared for. A land that the Lord cared for. God's caring for you this morning. He wants to care for you, and he careth for you, casting all your care upon him. There's one last shadow, and I leave it with you this morning. There's the shadow of death. Some of these days we'll all walk that way. The Arrow family's experiencing it today. The Gray family's experiencing it today. The Bain family's experiencing it today. And friend, remember this, so will you. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, in the valley, we have the promise of his presence, and we have the promise of his deliverance. D.L. Moody said, the 23rd Psalm is more misquoted than any other part of the Bible. If I have heard one man, I have heard a thousand talk about the dark valley. Yea, though I walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death. But he said the word dark is not there. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you ever see a shadow in the darkness? Go down to your basement tonight without a light and try to see your shadow. And then he said this, the fact that there is a shadow shows that there is light in the valley. You can't have a shadow without the light. Friends, let me tell you, D.L. Moody come to die, and R.A. Torrey tells the story of his homecoming, and I read it very quickly. Early in the morning of Moody's departure from his world, from this world, his eldest son was sitting beside the bed. He heard his father speaking in a low voice, and he leaned over to listen, hearing those words. Earth is receding. Heaven is opening. God is calling. You're dreaming, father, the son said. No, well, this is no dream. I have been within the gates. I have seen the children's faces. He rallied. A little while he began to sink again and was hurt to say, is this death? There is no valley. This is bliss. This is glorious. God is calling. And then he said, this is my coronation day. The crowning day is coming. By and by. Dear child of God, rejoice. Yea, though I walk through the valley, listen, you'll never stay in that valley. For praise God, you'll walk through it. And you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Child of God, rejoice today. The God of the mountains is still God of the valleys. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Dear unsaved person, run to the Savior for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy goodness and thy mercy.
We thank thee for everyone that has known the sweetness of thy presence. Even through the valleys of life, we thank thee that thou art there. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Bless your people today. Oh, get their eyes of faith upon thee. He'll see me through. For Jesus' sake.